16-year-old Gabrielle Douglas has achieved more than most people can even dream of. Douglas and her fellow U.S. gymnasts dominated the Olympic team competition, winning America's first gold in that event since 1996. Tonight, Gabby is one of two Americans competing for the gold yet again, this time in the individual all-around final. Americans have taken to Twitter throughout the Olympics to show their support for Team USA and to respond to the games in real time. Well, in tonight's Dicenary, I'll tell you what the word priority means to the critics on Twitter. First, the actual definition. Priority. Noun. Something given or meriting attention before competing alternatives. By that definition, you would think that people would be focusing on Gabby's accomplishments. But instead, many people in the African-American community have taken to Twitter to insult Gabby Douglas's hair. Let's take a look at some of the lowlights. Gabby Douglas, you made history with your impeccable talent and hideous hair. We as a black community got to fix Gabby Douglas's hair. Congrats to Gabby Douglas on her gold medal. Wish I could say the same about that hair. Oh, my God. Horrible. Gabby Douglas shouldn't be the standout in those commercials until she gets her hair done. And it goes on and on. Gabby Douglas is an Olympic champion, a title reserved for the best athletes in the world. She's being recognized on the world stage for her ability to outperform her competition in a sport. And to get there, she had to break a sweat just like everyone else. That should be the focus. Let's check the Dicenary. Priority, according to the Twitterverse, noun. Petty, shallow, self-hating, disgraceful.
Slightly full, a little sleepy. Panel in the house tonight.
Not me.
Bring it out. I want some out.
Tonight's guests are Chris Layman, Toria Williams, Malcolm Darrell, Jamila Farwell, and John Wood. And tonight's topic is We Stay Mad. Why are we our own harshest critics? And this comes during our 2012 Summer Olympics and right on the heels of the Gabby Douglas scandal that rocked the internet after she won her gold medal for the all-around best gymnast. Twitter seemed to be the home for most of the criticism, and all of the criticism was coming from our community, people banging on this child's hair. And it just trips me out that that even became a topic of discussion in the midst of this. And I think the comment that really just itched my ass, no other way for me to put it, was how can she be, you know, on television looking like that when she represents all of us as black women? If that's the case, what we're focused on is her athleticism, not her damn hair. And the grown-ass woman who said that needs to be ashamed of herself. For one, putting the weight of a hairstyle on a 16-year-old gymnast for the entire race, you know, and for also just not paying attention. I think for most of us, I don't even want to bang on those people who made those comments like I really feel like I want to, but I think for most of us, we weren't paying attention to anything but what this child was doing, being in awe of what she is physically capable of and not caring about anything else. And I just wonder what goes through the minds of some of our people when they have these moments of criticizing people, especially when they're on top. Because mind you, we have been watching Gabby for at least a week with the entire team, and I hadn't heard any commentary about her hair. But the moment she gets the gold, now we have to break her down. It's classic crab in the barrel syndrome, something that we suffer from continuously. And this one is just, it's just beyond. I'm so happy to see, though, that so many people have stood up and made a stink about people flying off the handle and flapping their lips, saying something ignorant about this child. So clearly y'all know where I stand on this. I'm opening it up.
For me, what's just sad is it feels like it's indicative of just black people, we're just injured people. And there's a lot of, whether it's just insecurities, victimization, self-esteem, not loving who we are. The fact that that would be someone's first topic of discussion is unfortunate. Now, I will say, just to be honest with you guys, I did look at her hair and I was like, oh, it's okay. It's got a little, it's interesting gel, but it wasn't like something I was focusing on. So I don't want to, because just like stereotypes come out of some sort of truth. These people weren't just out of the blue, like not looking at something. You know, I think part of it also is that, you know, she's competing with girls who have completely different type of hair than her. Right. So she's probably doing something to ensure that her hair stays down. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was. I don't really know the hair that way. Maybe the sisters at the table could talk about it. No, I'm just saying. I mean, well, I think we have to speak truth. I mean, really, you're gonna act like that.
The truth is that our priorities are mixed up.
Exactly.
Hats off to her mother for building a child with character, as opposed to building a child with the baddest weave on the planet or the silkiest straight.
Right.
And they say when you know better, you do better. And I believe that. But at the same time, we know better. And so we have to start holding ourselves accountable. She gave up so much to be in that position, meaning she's made sacrifices, given up her normal teenage life. She's committed time. She's learning patience. She's learning practice. She's learning how to commit. Everything that we need to be pouring into our children right now. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we know better. We see our children. We see our children fall short, but we still say, well, I'm gonna get your hair looking right. So we give them this sense false of being successful and that you're okay because your weave is straight, but your grades are falling. You have no character. You're not trying to build character in these children. So I kind of go hard on this one because it's a reflection of what we're seeing today. Kids who can't see beyond the mirror. You know, kids who say they want to be athletes, but they don't want to put in 4 hours of practice. Mm-hmm. Parents who say to their kids, okay, well, I'm going to let you drop out, who let their kids quit. Hands off to this mother who's holding her kid accountable, standing behind her, and building a woman of character. Because at the end of the day, all these little raggedy head folks that's running around here talking about her hair, she's got character. That lasts way longer than a track.
Hello.
Tracks are replaceable. And tracks can be bought. Character can't.
You said we, and excellent, excellent, excellent point, and I absolutely agree on everything you just said. You did say we know better, and that's the thing. I don't think that this particular group of people or person who started this stream of foolishness knows better, right? Because that is their reality, is that her hair doesn't look right, and they completely are not even looking at the fact that she's competing at the highest level of athleticism in what she's doing. So I don't know if they do know better. I think that they're the way of life.
I think some do. I think some do. Some are adults with children. That in and of itself is a case for you knowing better. I think one of our problems when it comes to our community and the public criticism that we do, just because you think a thing doesn't mean it has to come out your mouth. And it definitely doesn't need to come out your mouth in the public forum. That's where I was really irritated by a lot of, I mean, you might see something and think to yourself, that could be a little different. But to say it is a different thing than thinking it.
I'm just
amazed. Especially if you're, I'm sorry, not to call anybody out by name, but especially if you're a celebrity and you have a platform where you're able to sort of bring ridicule down on a person, you might want to be selective about where you push that influence. I mean, the thing that we should all be paying attention to is the fact that this is an extraordinary young girl.
Thank you.
In addition to being a dedicated and talented athlete, she's just very nice. She's very sweet.
Sweet.
I think she's a beautiful girl, you know. But even if she wasn't, we should be happy for what she's achieved. But to Toria's point, it does seem like this attitude is sort of a reflection of a sort of broader and maybe more historic superficiality.
Yes.
That sort of grips the black community. And, you know, some of it has to do with our historic social circumstances. There's long been an effort, you're talking about conks or perms presses or different things, to have our hair straight, to sort of take on the appearance of white people, white fashion. And what's interesting is that if ever there was a time where white people demanded that we try and look like them, it doesn't seem to be the case so much now. I don't hear any white people criticizing her for wearing her hair naturally.
Because they respect character. They respect at not all, but at the end of the day, that's what you respect. This is a young girl. I can't even believe we have to talk about her hair.
I just think it's sad that we can't. There's nothing. I don't have anything against anybody wearing a weave either. But I think it's sad that we can't embrace our. Some of us can't embrace our natural appearance. You know, because I think that's beautiful too.
And on one hand, for I would say the black female athlete, that would be one time where braids or cornrows would probably be a preferred hairstyle. Yeah, or a practical hairstyle in regards to what it is. Well, maybe not braids because they're heavy, but cornrows or even a nice, neat, tight fro, something that would not get in the way versus trying to look like, as Malcolm mentioned, a group or another, you know, the rest of the team, which culturally is not the same as you, doesn't have the same hair texture as you. So trying to fit in and look uniformed like everybody else, that ends up being the challenge and where folks wanted to criticize her. That's the one thing. The second thing is when we do this kind of public criticism of a person, it becomes fodder for people who are deep racist. Because now we've given them somebody to joke on. You know, a friend of mine put a post up on Facebook of a box, and she was like, next to the Wheaties box that Gabby Douglas will grace with her gold medal will be this picture. And it said, Coon Flakes. And it was a picture of Gabby Douglas. Now, we gave them permission to do that. The moment we start joking on a child or joking on any person, we give the heavily racist side ideas. Like, okay, well, shit, they don't mind joking on this person, so we can take that person and do whatever it is we want to. Make that person into a caricature. How unfair. And we don't recognize our responsibility in that a lot of times.
I mean, right. I wouldn't blame all of that on us because racists are going to be racist. They come up, they yeah, will come up with that regardless. Anyway, yeah,
I figure.
No, but at the same time, we still
she's got to face.
Well, she should get the same criticism from us, of course.
Exactly, because we do give them. Because we, in some ways, I'm not gonna take that off of us. In some ways, we give folks the permission to do it, whether they were going to do it or not. Once we do it, it definitely becomes okay for them to do it.
Right.
I absolutely agree with what everyone is saying. I do think that, you know, Kim, you mentioned her like having a more natural hairstyle, which obviously for that sport, I'm sure would be ideal. But, you know, as a teenager, I think your first inclination is just to want to fit in and
like everybody else.
And she is a teenager. But what I wanted to bring up actually is two things that really bother me about this. And we have discussed this in other contexts before, but it's just like the internet, you know, basketball size balls that you get just because you're online.
Right.
And there's a certain amount of anonymity there and you just want to like bang on people. It's absolutely ridiculous. If this is not something you would say to someone's face, why are we so comfortable having these conversations online? Just the responsibility and accountability or the lack thereof that people have,
yes,
with their online identities is such a problem. And this is just another, you know, circumstance of that. And also, I don't know why this is news, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I do not watch the news. Let me say that. But it is news. That's news. And also, and I know it's news because people are talking about it at my job. And I'm just like, really? Is this what we come in the morning?
Yeah,
talking
can
about?
She just be that, an athlete? Like,
right,
really?
It's that. And it's Serena crip walking. Right. I could give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we're getting gold medals. You're doing what you're here to do. Who cares? And honestly, you know, the fact that it becomes news just makes it talked about more. And that's really, you know, I mean, it's a slightly different conversation, but it's really about the role the media plays.
Right.
And what really, truly, and genuinely is or is not news. And to me, this is not news.
I just don't think it is. And since you mentioned Serena, I want to talk about Serena. I don't even understand why anybody had anything to say about that.
Because they don't know that part of culture. I think it's sort of like,
but athletes have had victory dances forever.
I know, but I think it's sort of like when Piers Morgan was like, he sounded so ignorant when he was talking about Whitney Houston's funeral. He's like, a homegoing celebration. It's like when you're completely ignorant of a culture, and I'm not saying crip walking is necessarily specific to black culture, but it's I'm sure a lot of people in urban culture know what crip walking is. And I feel like it's it was sort of like peering into another, you know, we like to do that. We're voyeurs. And so they're like, oh, what is this dance she's doing? It's not a just celebratory hand fist or yelling. It's like she's dancing. And then once they found out it was called grip walking, you know, it became
whole
a
situation. Right.
Well, yeah. I had a problem with it. I thought it was completely inappropriate. I just do not understand for the life of me how she could get up there from the whole world and do this crip walking dance when she knows that there are a lot of good and decent bloods out there who are her fans, and I think she's in the fence.
And I'm sitting here looking at John like, what is he? Oh, this Negro. Hilarious.
I think yeah, she's funny. Totally ostracizing a whole bunch of her fan base.
He got jokes, ladies and gentlemen. John Woods preparing at the improv next week.
Yeah. No, I mean, in all seriousness, I really don't care about that too much. I mean, you know, look, for me, I kind of don't like braggadocio in sports for the most part. You know, you don't see that. I can see the genteel folks at Wimbledon might have been very shocked, just kind of like, oh, what on earth is she doing?
They didn't know.
Lest we forget where she is from.
It's just not a big deal. I wouldn't have done it if I were her. I mean, what was his name? John McEnroe did a bunch worse stuff than that. So. You know, this isn't like, it's not ethnic criticism. Yeah, did I like it? Not really, but I don't really care one way or another. It's just kind of my thing on Serena. I think that the thing about Gabby Douglas is worse, though, because it's just her, you know, just her appearance, for goodness sake.
And we're,
you know? I mean, she wasn't bragging or doing anything to bring any possible hint of a slight down on her, and it just seemed to be thrown at her for no reason. But I sort of agree with Jamila. I mean, this stuff is really sort of as important as we make it at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think we should keep in perspective the fact that, you know, there are always going to be haters out there, but so long as most of us at least can focus in on the things that are really important and admirable about these athletes, you know.
Like the fact that she made Black history being the first black woman to do what she did.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like, why does she even have to worry or focus on hair when she's going to the freaking Olympics? Those of us that are worried about our hair, we're not going to make it to the Olympics. We're scared to jump in pools. You know, we're scared to sweat and get it wet. So the focus shouldn't even be on her hair. Like, that's our child. So what we should have been doing was embracing it and using it as a teachable moment to our kids who are saying they aspire to be something great. Mm-hmm. Well, what does it mean to aspire to greatness? Clearly, there's no person walking this planet other than, and she's not walking the planet anymore, Madam C.J. Walker, who we attribute their greatness to their hair, whether it was kinky, straight, curly, theirs, natural, whatever. And that's where we're losing our kids. That's where we're losing our power. That's where we're losing our impact, because we're telling our kids you're the greatest because you got the best weave in the school.
I think,
or you got the tightest braids. And that's a problem.
I do think there is something to be said, though, about this idea. I think Jamila had mentioned, you know, she's a teenager, she wants to fit in. This idea of having to, like, what is fitting in, and why is it that she has to fit into that look? You know, is it because primarily the sport has been, you know, women with that grade of hair, and so that's the look she's trying to emulate? Or I thought that was a very interesting point, because I don't think she could. I think there would be even more upheaval if she came out there with corn rolls, she came out there with a natural, or if she came out there with braids. I think there would be more discussion.
I totally disagree.
I think the only upheaval would come from, yet again, our community. Yeah. Our folks would be the ones criticizing her. Why is she out there with that nappy hair up against everybody else who's, you know, got their nice, neat little straight buns? I don't think we would hear it from white folks at all.
I totally agree with Kim, because if we look at the track athletes,
they're all braided up.
Yeah, a lot of them have weaves, but you know what? They have cornrows too. And that's not a topic of conversation.
Well,
it doesn't come up.
But it's also
dominated
sport that's dominated by black people.
Why does that matter, though? If we're just talking about how you show it,
if we're looking at black people who are not American blacks, a lot of those black people who participate in the Olympics in various sports have a variety of hairstyles based off of region. Nobody has anything to say about them. It's the American black perspective.
They're not talking about the hair. Absolutely.
At all.
But the other thing that I wanted to bring up, and I thought about this more after the Gabby Douglas thing, but there was a black swimmer who I do not remember her name. I just know
Black Asian girl.
I don't. Brooklyn? She wasn't even American. She was from another country. But she was a black swimmer, and I was just like, wow, first of all, I hardly see any black swimmers. I see even fewer black women swimmers. And I just thought about, you know, the particular challenges that our hair would present in that sport. And, you know, gymnastics, swimming, et cetera. Obviously, you know, I have natural hair, but there are certain... I don't even want to call them challenges because it's really just knowing how to do your own hair, you know? But I just thought about, I mean, when you're on this public stage and platform and there's so many insecurities, for lack of a better word, you know, that that pervade around our hair. And so how would that feel as a female swimmer that, you know, you don't have like this cute, curly Halle Berry type of hair. You have like natural kinky hair. And you're a swimmer. And
I wonder if they even care, though, at that point. When you're at that point.
I hope they don't.
I want, because there's also a young black girl. She's from Brooklyn. She's the black Korean girl. And she competed on the swim team. And just, I'm like, watching her, like, you're a different species when you're that into your, when you're that passionate about something, you know? It's almost like Stevie Wonder doesn't care about the sunglasses.
Well, Stevie shouldn't care about cutting his hair, though.
That contradicts everything we've talked about.
I'm sorry. I love Stevie. But you have to wonder, is anybody letting him know that your forehead
is... He is a musical genius. Our focus should be on his music.
Start back there, Stevie. No. I love Stevie Wonder.
No, but when you're that passionate about something,
right?
Do you even care? When you're that passionate, do you even care? Mm. Like, my love, my passion is right here, what I'm producing with my music. Because at the end of the day, he's got more talent in his fingers than any of them braids.
Well, the sister, you know, she probably, you know, was like, all right, I know I have this hair. So what do I need to do to make sure that when I'm not swimming, it's cool?
But that's what I'm saying. I just realized that, you know, specifically for us, and I feel like almost us exclusively, that hair does present its own special, you know, challenges for all of the, I mean, whatever the sport is, if it involves any type of sweating, if it involves any water on a regular basis, you know, I mean, there are just things taken into consideration. I wonder if they do.
But I think it's so very specific to American blacks. It might be an issue for blacks in other regions, but it's such an issue for us because so much of our entire aesthetic has been about blending in and social acceptance historically. I think we're just now probably getting to the point where we're learning to be comfortable with who we are and being okay being on either side of the debate in regards to how you choose to wear your hair. Although I will say, I feel as the whole natural movement begins to grow and there's more women accepting their natural hair and transitioning, the weave side is like doing its own, it's like a battle happening. I feel like the sisters who I know that wear weaves, the weaves are getting longer, they're getting more colorful. It's like getting bigger and better as if it's like a fight between the two. And none of it makes any sense to me. I feel like everybody just kind of needs to embrace who they are and what they're dealing with. I'm personally not a fan of weaves. I understand it for creativity's sake, but whenever I get into conversations with men about it, and I feel like unless you're a woman who's same-sex loving, part of wanting the aesthetic is male acceptance and male attraction. Most of the men I talk to will say straight up, they don't really like weaves. They don't like having to deal with a woman whose hands they can't run in their hand, you know, they can't touch her hair, they can't rub it, you know, they can't, you know, do certain things when her hair isn't done. She don't want to be seen, you know, like they don't really get down with that. So to me, a part of that is steeped in not accepting self. When you got to go buy hair that's not yours and it's a different texture altogether to try to make yourself look a way that you think is going to make you appear better than somebody else or like somebody else. That's a little bit of self-hate happening there.
I think, I mean, that feels like another conversation to me.
It is.
But, and I'm certainly more in the, you know, the middle ground. Personally, I've never had a weave, but I certainly don't hold it against anybody that wants a weave. I have had extensions, and I don't know how different that is, except that socially, you know, we see it in a different way. You know, I mean, by extensions, I mean braids.
Braids.
You know? Yeah, but anytime you're adding in hair, that wasn't my hair, but I wanted individuals and I wanted them a certain length and a certain thickness. And so that was what I did. And it's not because I have thin hair. It's not because I have short hair. It's just because that was what I wanted, you know?
And I think I should make the distinction because I've seen
But why is that a distinction though?
I'm not talking about individuals versus weaves.
Okay.
I'm talking about when I see black women who are wearing ass length hair that's golden yellow and has nothing to do with their entire look. Everybody knows this is not your hair, you know, and it's almost like an affront. These are I also have seen these same women, you know, want to go toe to toe against, you know, I can't stand natural hair bitches. Y'all always trying to get people. And I'm like, what is your issue that one, you hate on somebody whose hair is natural, but then your whole look is Lil' Kim, is Nicki Minaj, it's a costume. It's not even like a real thing.
Here's the thing. And I've worn weaves in school when I was in college, and I didn't as I got older, and it was for one reason and one reason only. I knew that little girls looked up to me, and I knew that they couldn't understand that I was deeper than my hair. They're not really spending time to get in touch with me to know, like, you know, Ms. Williams got the weave on her head just because she wanted, but she's got character. She's this. She's passionate about kids. Kids don't pick that up right away. So that's the only reason why I didn't, because I didn't always have the time to say, yeah, I'm rocking this weave, but I need this and I need that. And I think that's what's missing because, again, whether you're wearing your hair natural or a weave, the focus that we are not placing any of our attention on is building character. Because at the end of the day, I mean, look at FloJo. She rocked it. And if you look at the girls in track, they're funky. You know, they're stylish. They got the nails. They're putting the little arm things on. But at the end of the day, they bad broads and they're telling their real story. That's okay. If you a bad broad, you can weave, bald head, whatever. But our focus is only on this part on the outside, and you're not a badass broad. You got a badass weave, or you might have a badass shortcut. But you're not a badass broad because you define yourself truly by only what's on the top of your head, not what's in it, not what you're contributing, not what you're doing. And that's what gets me angry. And that's why I was pissed about the whole Gabby Douglas. I was like, oh, so character doesn't matter. But if she would have came in with the right ponytail, now she's a champion?
Right.
Absolutely not. She was a champion because of what they put in her, what they're instilling in her. And that's where we're losing as people completely.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. And this is Chris. I was just shocked because I'm like, she's competing. This is not like you saw a picture of her walking around with the team around London and her hair's fucked up. Then I could be like, oh well, nobody told you how to wear your hair when you go out. But the fact that I'm focused on why I'm here. And my focus on making sure I land my flips and all this, and is my hair up so where it's not in my face? Okay, cool. That's all I care about. Right. You know, she had it down when she was standing on the medal holding her gold medal for all y'all. You know, but she didn't. You ain't care. But my other thing is, since y'all brought up Serena, I'm not mad. I just wish she didn't do it. Because in this point, when they asked her what dance she was doing, she didn't really tell them. I mean, the thing is, if the dance is so cool, why didn't you like, well, what kind of dance was that?
Because she knew.
Because she's like, oh, it's a Crip Walk. Oh, where did that come from? Well, it came from this group of people who like shooting and killing motherfuckers.
Well, they would have known. They would have figured. Well, with Google and they would have figured.
Right, but I mean, I was kind of like, all right, you know what? You were caught up in the moment.
I'm kind of with Chris on that.
You were kind of in the moment. Wimbledon, like. It's not really Wimbledon. It was the Olympics, so she wouldn't have done that in Wimbledon, but it was the Olympics. All right, I can get away with it. But I was kind of like, if somebody asked you about
that calculated.
Yeah, no, but I mean, she wasn't thinking, but I mean, she didn't think of it. But that's my problem. Like, if somebody's like, I don't want white kids, what, they gonna want to do the dance? It's not like, right, yeah. It's not like the Usain Bolt. I seen the Usain Bolt do his little stance, so I'm going to do
but
that.
What's wrong with her form of expression?
My thing is, if you're going to get out there and do it and somebody ask you a question, then take pride in what it is that you did and say what it is.
But she didn't.
Well, that's
the thing, though. She didn't.
There's nothing wrong with the dance in and of itself, but I sympathize with Chris's point in as much as it's not an easy thing. If you don't know the culture, the only thing you're readily going to understand is that this dance came from a gang, basically,
right,
that has a very ill reputation. And it's got an ill reputation with us to the extent that it's been the motivating factor in all sorts of terrible things. There's nothing wrong with the dance in and of itself, but Serena is on the world stage, and if you can't communicate, you know, the positive aspect of it, which you can't, in
she
in
wasn't doing the Dougie. I mean, she was doing a dance that came from...
That's associated with a gang.
And of course, you know, for us who understand the culture and everything, we understand that it doesn't necessarily mean anything in and of itself. But she's in front of a world of people who just will not get it. And it's not even their fault that they wouldn't get it.
So, and we probably understand it more so because we are on the
And
West
I'm okay.
Coast.
And that's the thing. I was okay with her not explaining it because to me, it was like the people that need to know what that was... They know what's up. And it was almost like her acknowledging.
Well, that is why. That is why.
And that's why it was okay with me. That's why it was okay with me. And even the look on Venus, I don't know that this is what happened. In my mind, I hear her telling her sister, like, bitch, if I win, I'm going to get out there and quit walk. And Venus like, no, you wouldn't, bitch. And she did, and she got out there and she did it. Because Venus looked like, and this bitch got out here and did it. And they said, what was that? And she took that medal. That for me, it was like that medal was more for not just Serena, but she was saying, this is for the folks in the hood. This is for Compton. This is it. So yeah, y'all don't have to know everything. Y'all don't get that pound, pound. Y'all ain't in with us like that all the time. You know, the people that needed to know.
All right. Can I just bring up this? I know we're wrapping up. I just want to say this. The real tragedy, honestly, for me about going back to Gabby is that that's actually a child that was being talked about like that. And I just want us to remember that to Jamila's point, sort of the internet cowards out there can do anything, whether that's talk about a child. And I mean, that's what was really bothering me about it because I kept thinking to myself, what if that's your little sister? Or your daughter, or your granddaughter, you know what I mean? Or your friend from school, and you're hearing about this, and you're like, wow, they're... I just didn't appreciate it from that standpoint.
Right.
And I think that that's something that's important to remember, is that when you have social media and all these devices where people can make commentary, I think people forget, you know, they forget either their... I mean, obviously they forget their filter, but they also forget that... You know, this is a child who's competing, who is trying to do something for our nation, and she's doing, and she did it. And that ultimately is the most important thing for us to take away from Gabby Douglas's appearance at the 2012 Olympics.
Well said. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Please be sure to check in for the next Black is Bright.
What's going on, fam? This is Brother Malcolm, and you're listening to the Black Is Break. Check us out on blackisonline.com. Peace.